Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
You know, we're fortunate to have an increasing amount of information about the pathogenesis of lupus, really the specific immunologic underpinnings, and that's really led to the development and study of targeted therapies in SLE.
Today, Drs. Dallara and Chachachian join the podcast to discuss earlier use of biologics for treating lupus in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Maria Dallara, Professor and Chief of the Division of Rheumatology and Director of the Lupus Clinic and Rheumatology Clinical Research Center in the Department of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco.
And I'm Dr. Yashar Chaichian, Clinical Associate Professor of Medicine and Director at the Stanford Lupus Clinic and Associate Program Director for the Rheumatology Fellowship Program in the Division of Immunology and Rheumatology at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California.
Thanks so much for being here today, Yashar.
It's my pleasure, Maria.
I would love to kick us off by asking you about how you think about the use of targeted biologic therapies in lupus.
Well, I think it's something I'm sort of been increasingly thinking about in recent years. And I think, you know, we're fortunate to have an increasing amount of information about the pathogenesis of lupus, really the specific immunologic underpinnings. And that's really led to the development and study of targeted therapies in SLE biologics that directly address important core aberrant pathways in SLE. And so with the development of belimumab and anifrolumab, which work on complementary but important pathways in SLE, we've seen really high quality randomized controlled data showing that these can improve outcomes of interest in SLE when added to standard of care therapies. And so I think, you know, in my own practice, I'm really adopting these earlier when I feel a patient is in a trajectory that is not adequately controlled with hydroxychloroquine or short-term courses of glucocorticoids. So I think, you know, more of a proactive rather than a reactive approach is how I'm increasingly approaching these medications.
I completely agree with your approach. And I think this is a very nice continuation of the concept of treat to target, that we're targeting disease remission. And if we can't get remission, then at least low disease activity. And the way that we can do that is to use our targeted biologic therapies early, so we can induce that remission. And by doing that, prevent long-term accrual of organ damage. And I love to think about our two approved therapies for extrarenal lupus, belimumab and anifrolumab, and think about the mechanisms of action of these therapies. And it helps me to link therapies to mechanistic pathways. And you mentioned that, the immune dysregulation that we see in lupus. I like to think of lupus as being anchored on dysregulation of both the innate compartment and the adaptive compartment of the immune system. And I think the way that I think about belimumab as being a monoclonal antibody against soluble BAFF, that targets directly the adaptive component of the immune system. Anifrolumab, which is a monoclonal antibody targeting subunit 1 of the type 1 interferon receptor, nicely targets the innate compartment of the immune system. But of course, we know that there are multiple feedback loops and a lot of crosstalk between those two compartments, aren't there?
Yes, certainly. And so these medications, while they're very targeted to that specific pathway, everything, the feedback loops persist. And so there's a lot of, as you mentioned, crosstalk between innate and adaptive immune systems. So you're really getting a broad therapeutic approach with either of these medications.
And as you mentioned earlier, we have high quality evidence in support of the efficacy of these agents. And specifically with belimumab, we have 5 phase 3 trials that have demonstrated efficacy of belimumab compared to placebo on top of background standard therapy, hydroxychloroquine plus minus other conventional immunosuppressives. And those are the BLISS trials. And then we also have high quality evidence with anifrolumab, TULIP 1 and TULIP 2, which were the phase 3 trials, which also demonstrated efficacy of anifrolumab over placebo on top of background standard therapy. And we have high quality data now as well from post hoc analyses of these landmark trials showing that these agents are effective in inducing remission, low disease activity, preventing flares, preventing damage accrual. That's also very important. We have two studies in which these agents were compared to patients receiving conventional therapies in the Toronto lupus cohort, clearly demonstrating reduction in damage with the use of both of these biologic targeted therapies. That to me is very exciting that we have that sort of data that we can impact damage in our patients.
I think those are really powerful points you make, Maria, and really highlight that these are disease-modifying agents, which is really the ultimate goal we're trying to achieve with our treatments. I also want to highlight that not only do we have significant efficacy data in terms of disease-modifying but benefits of these treatments, but we also have significant safety data, not only from the initial BLIS and TULIP trials, but we have long-term extension data from both medications without any new safety signals, and really showing that, you know, for a biologic, these have good safety profiles overall in terms of infection risk, malignancy risk. Really the only signal, and which is known with blocking the interferon pathway, is the increased risk of herpes zoster with anifrolumab, but we have very effective vaccines available. And so it just highlights, you know, the importance of, you know, looking at the whole patient and being thinking about those things like vaccination. But again, the safety is also there with these medications.
I completely agree. And I think it's important to remind all of our listeners that the FDA has approved the zoster vaccine for our patients down to the age of 18 if they have an immunocompromising condition, of which lupus is one of them. So I agree with you. It's important that we aggressively vaccinate our patients such that they are safe to then receive these immunosuppressive immune modulating agents. And that's a very easy thing that we can do to help protect our patients. I completely agree.
Maria, I think those are really important points that you bring up. And I think overall, we both believe that the introduction of these medications should really be used as part of a proactive rather than a reactive approach. Are there specific characteristics that the data shows us would favor us to introduce these medications earlier? What features about patients with SLE would prompt us to use these treatments?
Yes, that's a great question. And I think, you know, we're using these agents early because we want to prevent damage accrual in our patients. We have data from the literature, post hoc analyses, both from the BLIS 52 and 76 trials, which were the belimumab phase 3, and also from the TULIP 1 and TULIP 2, which were the anifrolumab phase 3, showing us that patients with baseline high disease activity and serologic activity, meaning high levels of anti-double-stranded DNA, low complement, respond better to the targeted therapy compared to placebo, with a larger effect size difference between the targeted therapy and the placebo than all comers in the trial. And then also, with looking specifically at anifrolumab and the post hoc analyses of the TULIP trials, patients who came in with a high interferon signature, which were about 75 to 80% of the patients in the trial, also showed an improved response of anifrolumab compared to the standard of care arm, with a larger delta as well between the arms. So those are things that are, you know, making us think about, are there predictors that can help us choose these therapies for our patients? But I would love to hear your opinion, Yashar. I think that these are helpful, but they're not perfect. And I do reach for these targeted therapies early in many of my patients who continue to have active disease despite background hydroxychloroquine. I don't wait for the perfect biological markers, because honestly, we don't have great biomarkers that are going to help us choose which of these agents we should be using. But what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think these are helpful tools to have and to think about. And certainly in these patients, it makes even more sense to consider these medications. But there are certainly, like you mentioned, patients who may not have meet all these criteria. But I think if you're sort of deciding between, you're at the point where the patient really would benefit from a steroid-sparing immunosuppressive agent, and you're thinking between a conventional DMARD and one of the biologics, you know, it certainly comes down to individualizing the care, patient preferences. They may or may not want to be on an injectable or an infusible medication. Certainly is important. In certain areas, there may be resource limitations. So all those factors are important. But if all the other things are equal, I think we, with the quality and quantity of high quality evidence we have for these two as compared to the conventional DMARDs, you know, with the possible exception of mycophenolate, you know, particularly in nephritis, we have a lot of data as well. I think I reach for these medications in patients who may not have one or more of all of these factors, because I think the data is there that when added to standard of care therapy, you're going to achieve some of these desired outcomes, like a lupus, low disease activity state, remission at a higher proportion of the time. And if you do that, then you have less damage accrual also. So I think there are other scenarios where these would be reasonable, in my view.
I agree. And I think that we have these wonderful options to be able to offer our patients as part of shared decision-making, just like you said. And also, there's an exciting pipeline of targeted therapies coming up, which I encourage all of our listeners and those watching today to keep your eyes open for. Well, thank you, Yashar, for this great discussion. I'm sure there will be more to come as we have more data about the use of biologics early in our lupus patients.
I completely agree, and I'm excited to see how this field emerges in the next few years as we have more and more data about the early incorporation of biologics for the treatment of SLE. Thank you so much, Maria.
And thank you to our audience for watching today.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guest, Drs. Dallara and Chechachian. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.